I had the privilege yesterday of going to a house of a Nigerian couple and their new baby. A lovely family. I went to bless the house and to bless the newborn baby, arrange the baptism. And today's reading is all about baptism. This is the link with today's reading in Exodus. The interesting thing was, as I said the prayers, they were joining in and they were giving in the responses. They were a classic African family. They were delightfully lively. Praise the Lord. Amen. Kept coming through in the middle of the prayers. And you get that around the world. Us English tend to be a little more reserved. But this morning, you've excelled. Roger introduced the psalm. That glorious psalm that reminds us of the Easter vigil. Straight into the psalm after the reading. Rejoicing at that amazing miracle of the dividing of the Red Sea. And you responded in kind. It was really loud. I don't know whether you noticed. You're louder than normal, so I think you're a bit fired up. That's great. You're supposed to shout out Alleluia at that point. You would in Africa. But today's reading from Exodus really is an historic moment in the history of Israel. A remarkable miracle. Now, you do get people who will try and get scientific answers to explain how the Red Sea can part. They'll say, oh, there were all sorts of weather conditions then, and the wind was blowing in a certain direction, and it was that time of year when the tides were low, and it was low, and then it blew, and it divided them, and they were able to get through. Well, that's very interesting, but actually, we're not into that. I mean, that's interesting to find out how, as science always does, it doesn't explain why. And it also doesn't explain another miracle. How does Pharaoh, getting across the Red Sea with his 600 chariots and best horses, how come all these trained soldiers drowned in 3 inches of water? This is ridiculous. So here we are. We're coming to the culmination of the prefiguring of the arrival of Jesus Christ and what he will bring, the new covenant between God and mankind. So the first prefiguring was when they left Egypt, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover meal. Jesus has been sacrificed for us, to save us from slavery of sin. He's bringing us out of misery to find our true selves worshipping the true God, allowing us to worship the true God and know God better. And remember, that's something that the Jews were forbidden to do in Egypt. The Pharaoh would not let them worship. There's a second prefiguring, and which comes today, of baptism. And this is explained in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's paragraph 1094, 1221, if you want to look it up. More in 1221. They crossed from slavery to freedom in the Promised Land through the Red Sea. And it then followed 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And I'm back to yesterday. Some things take time. Some people seem to take longer to work out what they need to do. Why did they need 40 years of preparation in the wilderness? They'd had 400 years of paganism in Egypt. They needed to be brought back to the ways of God and true worship. The same applies to us. We need to be here practicing Catholics, practicing being good people in our daily lives. We are preparing for the Promised Land. We've passed through, in this world, via baptism, to a journey in this world through the waters of baptism. But we will not cross the River Jordan into paradise, into the Promised Land, until God decides. That's when we find the results of our preparation. Sometimes that crossing across the River Jordan is delayed. I think this is a nice example of the Catholic doctrine of purgatory. Moses, during that 40 years, remember he'd been told that he would know at the end that he'd done God's work, that would be the sign that it happened. He certainly had a sign today. Over 40 years, people sometimes wobble. It's difficult being in a leadership position. We learn from Exodus all about how he's had to learn to delegate. He's spending 40 years setting up the nation and providing an infrastructure and providing a law for the Jewish people. And it's there in the Pentateuch. You've got the book of Leviticus lays down the laws that Moses found. We'll hear about this later when he gets the Ten Commandments and this sort of stuff during that journey. Then, as he came towards the end of his life, he came to Deuteronomy. It's a repetition of Leviticus, largely. It's the law again, reminding him before he goes, this is what you need to do. But Moses himself did have moments when he wobbled. Certainly the people had moments of wobbling during that 40 years. they began to worry that it wasn't going to happen. And again, you'll see while Moses is away up the mountain with God, we'll hear this in a few days' time, they're worshipping the golden calf. They've gone back to their pagan ways in desperation. Preparation takes time. Sometimes we make mistakes. Moses made mistakes, and God said to him, you are not going to be the one to lead them across to the promised land. You're not going to have that honor of going across the River Jordan. That was down to the next leader, Joshua. Moses had to wait. He had to wait. He died, and he waited a bit longer. That's the idea of purgatory, if you like. Not based on time, but it's based on a state. Are you ready to see God? Are you completely cleansed and ready to see the face of God? It's not a horrible place like Dante would have us believe. It can be a nice place, apparently. We don't know a lot about it. But there, in the book of Exodus, just another idea which feeds into our understanding of what happens after we die. Some people might go straight to heaven. I hope most people do. Others, they have to atone for their sins after death. And again, I make the point, some people say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't think there's life after death. That's a bad attitude. Closed minds. They're not open to that sort of thinking. The problem is when they die and they find out there is life after death, what's their attitude going to be? I fear it might be the same. And they'll just say, oh, I'm in another place now. And it's obviously another stage of random events that leave me in existence. I don't believe it. And they're still stuck there, separated from God. We have to pray for those people. We pray for the souls in purgatory regularly. But today is about our redemption and being saved, our salvation through baptism, a repetition of the Red Sea. There's plenty of baptisms coming up in this parish. I always think they're a joy. I've got a lot coming up in August. They're a real joy. I've started putting them on the bulletin because they are the way into the Catholic Church. We start at the door symbolically. You come in the door and enter the church. It's a marvellous example of people who come to God at a time of joy, just like that psalm this morning, and ask God to come into their lives. Some of them drift away again. That's what happened with the people in the wilderness. They are not lost forever. It's an opportunity to mark the soul of the children through the waters of baptism.